This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 189. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bedlin.
Hello.
On this Football Friday.
Yes.
It's Fezzik Fridays. You know that. Steve Fezzik on the show later. Everything on his mind, and he does have tons on his mind, both betting and casino-wise. Actually, it's more of a betting-focused one. I think the casino stuff is
maybe
back burner today. Prior to Steve Fezzik, we'll do this backwards. Prior to Steve Fezzik, Dr. Bob, his triumphant return to the show today, talking NFL with us. Remember, he has retired from college football and college basketball, but Bob will be here to talk about the NFL, a specific game. Not sure what that game is yet, but we will steer him, and we'll just roll the ball out on the court, really, and then he will do his thing. Chris Felik at the Bear before that, talking college football bets, all of his NFL thoughts as well. Every bet he's got in the holster. Chris Felik will join us. Paul Carr on the Prem, and as they say, so much more. So much more. You never want to underrate so much more.
Deep thoughts about the Miami Dolphins with Paul Carr.
Oh, yeah. We could do that.
Big-time game this weekend.
Let us begin with the Niners and the Rams from Australia. Well, clearly we can now say with the trap. No, let me stop. We don't know anything still. But ladies and gentlemen, the San Francisco 49ers beat the Los Angeles Rams 27-7. In a game that was unremarkable,
in every
possible way. This is one-way traffic, really. Well, we'll start at the top, where first play from scrimmage for the Rams, Fred Warner knocks the ball down. You're like, well, he's back.
He's still good.
He's back. Niners, first time they had the ball after that, because it was a three and out for the Rams to start the game. First three third down conversions were to Mike Evans, their new acquisition from this offseason. 14 plays, 65-yard drive, but they had to settle for an Eddie Pinheiro 20-yard chip shot with 6:15 left in the third quarter. Were you surprised they kicked the field goal there?
A little bit, actually.
I was too.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I don't know. I felt like we were going to be talking about it either way.
Yeah.
But I was a little surprised.
Yeah, it didn't drive me crazy, but I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
3-0 Niners. Couple times later when the Rams had the ball. Second play, 2nd-and-2 at the Niners 49. Stafford to Puka for 39, breaking tackles. Two plays later, Kyron in from 5, Kyron Williams. 7-3 Rams, 3 seconds into the second quarter. And maybe you were like, hey, look, it's the Rams.
Yeah.
The hype train.
Hey, Gil, both teams started off a little slow. The Rams more, slower than the Niners. But this is now a score that we all expected.
Here's where it got a little ugly. San Francisco, 1st-and-10 of the Rams, 46. Purdy, bad pass, picked by Quentin Lake. And Matthew Stafford said, hold my beer. 3rd-and-11 at the Niners, 36. Stafford picked by Renardo Green. Not a good pass either. 7-3, they trail. Niners then go on a 9-play, 86-yard drive that took 4:07 off the clock. Purdy deep to DeMarcus Robinson for 39 out. 10-7 Niners. A lead they would not relinquish. 4:28 left in the second quarter. Stafford was almost picked by Jack Jones later in the half, but that's what the score would be at halftime. Purdy was 17 of 25 for 141 at the break. Stafford, 4 completed forward passes.
Oof.
Out of 11 attempts for 65 yards, the big one to Puka was really the majority of it. 208 to 137 in total yards in favor of the Niners. Niners come out first thing, second half. Debo returns the opening kickoff almost to midfield. Niners then go 7 plays, 51 yards, took 3:57 off the clock. Purdy to Evans from 2 out. That's what you expect from Mike Evans, sort of a 50-50 ball.
Mm-hmm.
Concentrate, he grabs it. 17-7 Niners, 11:03 left in the third quarter. And then here's where the game sort of goes from competitive to, this might just be a Niners roll.
Yeah.
Rams, from their own 27, they get to 4th-and-inches at the doorstep. By the way, Puka on 3rd down just stopped shy of the goal line, correctly, by the way, correctly ruled by the officials. And then 4th-and-inches at the doorstep, it looked live like Stafford was completely in on the sneak.
Mm-hmm.
But the officials were like, no, he wasn't. And I was like, what? Replay showed he wasn't. Not even close. Stopped by Osa Odigizua, and San Francisco took over at their own 1-yard line. Now, if I had given you odds before the season, and by before the season, I mean 24 hours
right,
ago,
yeah.
before the Rams season. And if I had said to you, hey, the Rams, you know, the Rams of Aaron Donald and Miles Garrett, I get Aaron Donald didn't play last night, but these Rams with O.J. McDuffie, that they would give up a 99-yard drive this entire season, what would you have made the odds on that?
Oh, man, that's a great call. We'll I mean, it would have to be for the yes to hit. I mean, major plus money, but I have no idea how often that happens to a team.
Well, they didn't get through three quarters because the Rams went 11 plays, 99 yards. Well, actually, it was bled into the fourth quarter. Mm. 11 plays, 99 yards, 544. Purdy to Debo from 15 out. It's better play than he made all season long, it feels like, in Washington last
year. Dude, seriously.
24-7. I'm probably shortchanging him a little bit from his great Skins era. 24-7 Niners, 12:57 left. Rams then second to two at their own 39. Stafford to Higbee for five. He fumbles. Keon White recovers. Niners really can't go anywhere with it, but they kick a Pinheiro 56-yard field goal. Bangs it in, 27-7. 9:43 left. Then a Rams turnover on downs. Went on fourth and five of the Niners 49. Incomplete, intended for 2-2 after missing a wide-open Devontae two plays earlier from Stafford. Pinheiro would doink a 52-yard field goal, and the Rams down 27-7. I'm curious about this end of game. With 3:29 left, they're down 20. From their own 42, they have all their timeouts. They put Stetson Bennett in. Were you a little surprised they just ran out the clock?
Oh, totally.
Especially if they're inside the 20 at one point.
It's the NFL. Every game is so massive, I was pretty floored.
So I actually, by the way, that's your final score, 27-7. Like, Purdy, 25 of 34 for 205. Niners led in total yards, 379 to 290. And Stafford ends up 15 of 25 for 155. Puka got almost half of that with 74.
Yeah, Gil, it's just, you're watching that game and you know everything's gone wrong for the Rams. It's just, I think that was him coming in the game was even more of a tell of, oh, maybe this is even worse, like on the sidelines and, you know, what's going on with this team than we're even seeing.
Well, I threw that out in the group chat last night. I'm like, is anybody else surprised by how the Rams just sort of were like, yeah, we're good.
I was.
And didn't score. And Fezzik, who'll be on later, he chimed in at his own leisure, by the way. He chimed in. Maybe we're all missing the point that the Rams just didn't care at all about this game.
I think that would be the other take, right? But how do you have that approach in the National Football League? Like every game is worth so much. Every win is worth so much. And we've had this conversation.
A division game against two big division rivals.
I mean, like, and this is different from a conversation we've had like all summer about the Dodgers, right? Of like, they just want to get in. They're not necessarily chasing the best record. They just want to get it. Sure, the Rams are thinking that way too, but it's really easy for things to go wrong real quick in the NFL.
Also, by the way, that's your home game against the Niners.
Yep.
Should be pointed out. So I thought that was interesting, but that's a cousin, what Fezzik said, but that's a cousin of what I was kind of saying all offseason, right? With the travel. I know we can finally put the travel to bed here.
Mm.
By the way, hey, earlier teams to arrive, Europe and Australia.
Still looking good.
Goes to 18-9 against the spread.
That's crazy.
But it's kind of a cousin of what I was saying all offseason, which is where I believe it will affect the Niners is on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know they get the Dolphins, so maybe we won't see it in terms of win-loss. But maybe whatever the spread ends up being, we will see it. That was always my hunch. I said it a number of times. The insinuation of that, or the tangent to that is, therefore the Rams will not be affected as much the way they played it on the way back. And maybe
right.
The Rams, who again did the whole test run where they sent personnel, hey, why don't you guys fly to Melbourne and back? By the way, L. Duncan, you can pronounce it Melbourne. You don't have to say Melbourne, by the way. Nice outfit, though. Maybe the Rams the whole time were just like, yeah, whatever happens here happens. But I'm with you. If that is in fact the case, that's awfully casual.
It's just pretty shocking to me.
Awfully casual.
And then, well, I guess the other, but takeaways from this game, Miles Garrett, right? One of the worst games he's ever played.
Well, he even said after the game, quote, the worst version of myself that I've put out there.
Yeah.
Saying his knee was not 100% healthy. Also be mentioned Trent Williams was on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
I am so glad you just said that, because some of these guys we just don't give enough credit. I mean, that is one of, if not the best offensive tackles in football, and that was a Hall of Fame battle you got to watch last night.
He's also a giant.
Yeah,
you know,
he is.
I mean,
one tackle and zero pressures? I mean, these were shocking stats from Miles Garrett. And I guess where I was going with that, Gil, is if, like, you were really punting on this game and his knee was really hurting, why did you bring Myles Garrett?
Right.
I would have left him at home, too.
It's very true. The other thing, interesting that Kalon Black got most of the carries for the Niners in the first half. It felt like a little bit of, hey, just so you guys know, we're going to load manage CMC this year.
Agreed.
A little bit, even though I know he was playing down the stretch. But there was a little bit of that was interesting, I thought.
The box score itself, I think, is fascinating to go through. If you're a better or a fantasy player, I mean, Evans looks solid. Like,
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm sure you had your questions. I had my questions over Evans and Debo and concerns about them of how are they going to look. Mike Evans, if he looks like that every game, he's going to be a major addition for this offense. And Debo, like, I thought he was washed last year.
I don't know if he was washed, but definitely in training camp, those videos we saw,
would have said he was washed. I didn't think you were going to get anything out of that guy this year. We'll see how long it lasts.
Congratulations to all who had the Niners.
Yeah.
As I did on this one, this was easy peasy.
Yeah, well done.
If they were only all this easy, as we like to say, Niners win at 27-7. I feel like, Kelly, these were the two games I had the most conviction on all week.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, at the time it was laying 3.5, right? By game time, it was 3 mm-hmm. consensus. I feel like I should be 2-0 as opposed to 1-0-1 in millions and 1-1 in the Megapod. Again, with the Seahawks, lost their starting quarterback 5 plays in. New England touchdown set up by a PI on a woefully underthrown pass by May. Roughing the punter led to a Pats field goal that made it 10-0. Touchdown negated for the Seahawks on an illegal shift. Delay of game when they had 2nd-1 at the New England 3 with under 6 minutes left, had to settle for a field goal. I mean, on and on till the break of dawn as to why Seattle should have probably covered that. But we'll take the Niners win. It is the NFL. It's Plinko. We know how this goes. Congratulations to all. That was a pretty dominant performance. Coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The wait is over. The wait is over. College football and the NFL officially underway. Now's the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide with post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams. Sign up now. You also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and y'all can get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets from Australia.
Ooh.
Tenelach. Mini camps in Australia are obviously the formula for winning. 49ers plus 3.5 Gilly Cash. The umpires didn't need to mimic our weird goal confirmation, though. Back to watching games 4 a.m. onwards. Love your show, guys. Yeah, that's when they watch the NFL. Middle of the night. Dead of the night. Thank you, Tenelach, for listening. Mm-hmm. We always appreciate it.
Yeah.
Fake follower. You were correct. 27-7 point made. I've traveled to Australia from New York, and it's coming back that kills you. Fade L.A. next week against my Giants, unquote. I don't know about that. I think it's going to affect the Niners a little more. But again, Niners have to play the Dolphins, so we might not see it in the win-loss column. And PAW has chimed in. He says, looking way too much into week one in the NFL again. Season begins week 4, if not 5. Okay, PAW, that's right. Football banned for the next 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
That's it. We're just not going to talk about it.
Wait, is this, point of just like we kind of really, it takes 4 weeks before we really know what's going on?
I don't know what his point is.
I think that's probably it. Which that I kind of agree with. It's a fun game, and it happens to us betting it every year, right? Of the week one overreactions, week two overreactions. Oh. What's an overreaction? What's happening?
That, there's no question about that. But what are we supposed to do? Not talk about?
Oh
these
no,
games?
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
Then you got some of the guys too drag their feet adjusting power ratings, not naming any names or anything. Sometimes you're like, there's overreaction. There's like, dude, you gotta react to this somehow, man.
Be screaming at Rufus 4 or 5 years ago. Tampa Bay sucks. As that. So it's a little injury update. So everybody who had DeJuan Stribling for offensive rookie of the year, oh boy.
Yeah, oh, it's, seriously.
It's not an Achilles. So let's just get that off the table. But they're, what, running tests today to find out what it is?
Yeah, it sounds like this. So they ruled out Achilles there.
Intact.
It sounds like the other tests are going to take place back in the U.S.
From the previous game, A.J. Brown, high ankle sprain. That is expected to sideline him for at least 4 weeks.
Let me do what you just did with the last one. You can tear up my A.J. Brown Offensive Player of the Year ticket. That one's toast. So sorry if you tailed me on that one.
And here's the weirdest one of them all. Tom Pelissero reporting about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold believed to have suffered, quote, unusual muscle strain in the hip area. IR is not currently under consideration.
Yeah, this is some weird reporting around this one, Gil.
Hey, Kelly, what happened to you? I don't know. I have an unusual strain.
I mean, the past 2 days, we've had an unusual and then the trim. Right, the meniscus trim for Brock Bowers.
Meniscus trim.
I've never heard these ever before.
Yeah, just take a little off the top.
We only talk NFL every single year. I've never once heard these words used ever for an injury.
These things have, by the way, when I was a kid, and people of a certain age will remember this, you know what was a common injury, specifically for running backs also? Something they used to call hip pointers.
Yeah.
What
happened to hip pointers?
Nobody ever has hip pointers anymore. What are those now?
I feel like even stingers are going away. Nobody gets a stinger anymore.
Wilbur Montgomery of the Eagles just got himself a hip pointer. Unfortunate for the Eagles.
Great call.
Yeah.
It's probably what Sam Darnold has. We just like call it different things now.
Yeah, maybe it was an unusual strain is all it was.
It's just weird because the reporters are using that type of wording, but then they're also seemingly it's like positive news out of Seattle where they're like, this could have been way worse. So I don't really know what to make of that, but we're not going to see him for a week.
The other thing I'd like to talk about has nothing to do with pro football, but while we were watching the Rams and Niners, which was the opposite of a classic yesterday, for sure. Were you a little thrown off by how it's like we knew it was Friday morning, Melbourne time,
dude,
the whole time?
I know,
but then it was so bright.
It was so bright.
It was like a college football Saturday morning. And I was like, well, this is a little weird.
Wait, did they not make clouds in Australia? It's crazy.
The best tweet I got yesterday, I'm sorry, I can't remember who did it because I want to give him credit. But the best tweet was somebody quoted me. He goes, you think the Jonas Brothers traveled early? That's a great quote.
All the foul ground looks funny too. Right?
Oh, yeah, so foul much foul
but like,
ground.
I, you know, like kind of like what you're saying, which what we should have expected that
100,000 seat stadium.
Yeah.
It's got to be a lot of foul ground.
Not designed for a football field, yeah. Right?
Okay, so the other one was the University of Miami was playing football on the other screen against FAMU.
Volume up at Fountain Blue. More important game.
So at Fountain Blue, apparently, what happens at Fontainebleau? Pardon me. What happens there is we have figured out. Now, we haven't figured out. We actually know this to be true.
Pretty much I know this to be true, yes.
So sportsbooks usually operate. The marquee NFL game will always get center stage. They also operate under the other principle when there's not an NFL game, the thing that's most bet will often get a screen. But at the Fountain Blue, what you're saying is they will even override an NFL game.
Hey, look, I sent you that video.
Yeah.
It was at the very beginning. They did eventually switch to the NFL audio, but I was sitting there because I brought this up during the draft. You remember that? My dad's head exploding that they wouldn't put the draft audio on.
That Bidlam was not happy.
Why are all these hockey playoff games on and I can't get the NFL draft? He was losing his mind. And I love the Fountain Blue, but it's just comical because it's a bit smaller boutique kind of like sports book, and it's kind of more old school. Like, you come with serious cash and you want your game on, you're good. They'll put it on for you. So it took probably like 15 minutes, Gil. But I sent you that video and I was like, I'm like counting the minutes. I'm like, how long? Like, they got to flip NFL audio on, right? Finally, they went there.
Well, so University of Miami.
Close game.
They had 856 yards of offense.
How many? That can't possibly be true, what you just said.
856 yards of offense. In a 77-7 beatdown of Florida A&M, they also had 42 first downs. Now, here's the thing. We're live betting all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so at some point, I'm just curious. By the way, there are betting lessons to be learned. I think Fezzik might want to talk about this as well. There are betting lessons to be learned in all of this. But like Mario Cristobal, what is enough? At what point did we decide that like running up the score was okay? And I know this generation's like, if you hate it so much, stop us. Like, come on, man. These kids are just getting brutal. I know you had your fourth string out there, and I know you were. I'm just saying, he's passing the ball into the end zone, up 70-7 and up 77-7. Like, it's ridiculous. Anyway, one of us might have had an in-game under. That's why maybe I'm whining as well, because the in-game under got eclipsed by the final couple touchdowns. Actually, the last touchdown itself could have gotten there. But But I'm just saying, like, that there's a betting lesson in there that apparently no one cares about being kind at the end of football games anymore.
So I wonder, Gil, I didn't have a single bet in the game, so I'm going to side with you here, okay? Because I don't really care. But you're right. Nobody seems to operate that way anymore. But the only way you can kind of get up for some of these matchups like this one last night is the old line of like, hey, these kids have played each other in high school, right? A bunch of these kids, right? So, I mean, I know it's a little bit different era with all the transfers and the portal and stuff, but still, you got a lot of kids from South Florida that end up at these schools in very different levels. So you expect FAMU to come in with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, okay? They get blown out. And you do, my mind turns the other way, like at a certain point, okay, so these kids played against each other in high school. Like, why are we running up the score on them, you know? Like, it's...
And they did knock the game down from 15 minutes in the fourth quarter to 10 minutes in the fourth quarter as well.
Which is, what, the third time we've seen that now this season?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so.
Just something to keep in mind.
I should probably check. Maybe I didn't lose that. Maybe I thought I lost it, but I didn't. Nope, I lost it. I did. I had the under 78.5, by the way, should be pointed out.
Oh, man.
Miami covers, it should be pointed out, the 60-point spread, 60.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty easily,
I know the answer to this question, but my God, you talk about the betting streaks and how, like, when you just get on them and they seem like it go bad. Do you ever feel like a house rule ever goes in your favor? Like, I'll let you know the first time where I'm like, well, I got lucky because of this house rule.
It happens, but it's certainly seldom, it feels like. Okay, so Miami, by the way, 8-1 to win the national championship. Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas, and Georgia still shorter. Big showdown, of course, between Ohio State and Texas. Tomorrow, we'll get Chris Velika's thoughts on that and all of his college football plays here coming up on the show. Real quick, September wins update. I know we had a very short slate of MLB games because we've got Paul Carr coming up on the other side. I want to squeeze this in. There's only 5 games in Major League Baseball. Right now, it's pretty much a scrum. The Dodgers are amongst the group with 7 wins. Dodgers have 7-2. It's actually only 2 teams with 7 wins. Dodgers and Pirates. Did you have that? The Buccos are like, we're not done. We could still make the playoffs. They're both 7-2. By the way, a flirtation with a no-no yesterday for a little bit. Dodgers, Pirates, both 7-2. Then it's the Yankees and Mets at 6-2. The Athletics and Brewers at 6-3. Our Red Sox and our Blue Jays stuck on 5 right now. 5 wins, 2 wins back. Really can't say early stages of September. I mean, we're moving up to the midway point because, remember, it's a truncated month, so... That's it. About, you know, somewhere around 16, 17 games left in the season for these teams. That's it.
Come on, Blue Jays. Every one of these games now is huge.
You can't lose to the Angels, Red Sox, and you can't lose to the Athletics, Blue Jays. Mm. And yet you did.
Pirates, 7-2.
I think twice, right, in both cases. That's not good. Yeah, Pirates, 7-2. I thought the Pirates were donezo.
Yeah, seriously.
Late run.
Here they come.
They are 8-1, by the way, to win September, if you're interested in that. Dodgers minus 105, which was our third choice. Paul Carr on the Prem, 3-pack of picks next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Hey.
Later on the show, we go through every single NFL, every single remaining NFL game this week. Week number 1 in the National Football League. My millions is in. 1-0-1 start.
Dude,
my Survivor is not in yet.
I know some people are going to get sick of us talking Survivor because we love it so much. Ugh. But we are. It's week 1. It's week 1, Gil. I have changed my mind probably 15 times in the past 3 days of what I'm doing with my entries.
Obsession.
Yeah.
Real quick, and I do mean real quick, as unremarkable as the football game was last night. Tennis, we split our overs. Got the over in the Elena Rybakina win over Coco Gauff. Rybakina coming from one set down. Rybakina advances to the women's final at the U.S. Open to take on Aryna Sabalenka, who would not let us get the over in the Sabalenka-Pegula match yesterday because it was 5-5 in the first. We're trending beautifully. And then all of a sudden, Aryna Sabalenka just went... pulverize on Pegula. She was awesome. Too awesome for our over. She made quick work of Pegula after that. Wins it in straight sets. We do not get that one, so we split on that. We lose the pennies on juice there. No plays for me probably anymore in this tournament. It's the men's semis today. I think both guys are properly favored. Ben Shelton, big favorite over Francis Tiafoe, even though I'm rooting for Tiafoe. And then Sasha Zverev, big favorite over Karen Khachanov. Sasha Zverev and Ben Shelton look like they're on a collision course here for the men's final. No plays for me today in this.
Here at Circa, Zverev minus 435, steeper most other places. You've got Shelton minus 285. That'll be a fun one to watch, though, today. And then in the women's final, Sabalenka minus 145, Rybakina plus 125.
Which I think is also properly priced. Yeah. I looked ahead to that. I'm like, that's exactly. I was hoping Sabalenka was going to be a much bigger favorite, and then I would have been on Rybakina. But that's about where it should be.
I agree. She was impressive at the end of that last
Sabalenka night. Trying to go back-to-back-to-back with U.S. Opens.
Ooh.
Yeah. Sitting on four majors. Rybakina sitting on two majors. Titles, that is, right now. We get tweets beating the book. Let me just read a couple before Paul. Andrew Dressler. Evans and Debo still looking slow. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. Yeah, no, they're not looking slow after last night. Well, you know what? Evans did exactly what you would expect from Mike Evans, right? Yeah. I don't think either one of us watched that game and were like, oh my God, they're so fast. That's not really their strength, right?
I would also describe it as I had questions about Mike Evans coming into the season, not really concerns. Debo, I had major concerns about.
Jason H11, I get a hit pointer every morning I get out of bed. You know what? I looked up hit pointer because I was curious. A term invented in 1967. A deep bruise or contusion to the upper ridge of the pelvic bone known as the iliac crest or the nearby hip area. But again, used commonly only in sports journalism, usually from a hard blow from a helmet near sports equipment. I don't hear anybody using that term anymore. So maybe, I don't know if that's what Sam Darnold has or not. And then Shrek McPhee, I turned off the NFL debacle right in time to hear the crowd audibly gasp as Coco was saving a second match point. What was that? Watching it live, you knew she was going to gack it. I thought the crowd was on her side. Well, they were on her side, but Elena Rybakina is steely. I mean, well, she won Wimbledon. You didn't even see it on her, like, no expression on her face. She can fight her way through anything. Let's talk some soccer. Paul Carr joins us. Paul, as excited for the beginning of his Miami Dolphin season as he is for the Prem being in full effect. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr. He comes to us from the Heartland. How you doing, man?
Miami Dolphins, the whole city of the Premier League. I can just hope that the Dolphins can get off to an inexplicable hot start like Hull City has.
What are you hoping for against the Raiders? What are you really hoping for? Realistically, what are you thinking is the bar here?
I mean, obviously, you want to win. Then you just kind of trickle down from there. You want to be competitive. You don't want to get blown out by Kirk Cousins and the Raiders and no Brock Bowers. Mostly just like want to see a team. You know, they lost a lot of players. The offensive line has some promise, but is young. The wide receivers, who knows? I think I'm starting at wide receiver, so I need to get out there. I would just like to see this look like a coherent team, which is maybe a pretty low bar.
Raiders favored by three.
It's like the whole season for the Dolphins. Like, either like you win this game or you might as well just start tanking right after it.
Boy. Okay.
That's pretty much it.
How do we do in the Champions League this week, by the way?
2-1 this week.
There we go.
Cash 2-1. PSG got it done. And Napoli Arsenal is under very easily. So, yeah.
Paul Carr moving the chains.
There we go.
What he does. All right. To the Prem. Let's, before we get to your three picks, give me any macro thoughts here in the very early going. What have we learned?
I'm not sure. The teams at the top are the teams at the top. I mean, your top four is Man City, Arsenal, Hull City, Chelsea. Obviously, we don't expect Hull City to stay there. They're still like minus 200 to be relegated. But that Man City, Arsenal, Chelsea trio is the consensus three best teams, I think, for most people, give or take a Manchester United. But Arsenal still looks like the best team. They have clearly the best defense, as we'll get to. City and Chelsea have potential, just unsure if they can hold up over the course of the season. So top three, getting into those top three spots, and Hull City, I mean, that's kind of the story of the league so far, that they're in third place and haven't lost and haven't given up a goal, but I still think that's fluky.
Yeah, Paul, by the way, 2-1 in the Champions League, also 2-1 in the Prem when he came and gave his three-pack of picks for the Prem a week ago. And we were joking at one point, if you just keep fading Hull City and you still get a 2-1 every week,
very glad last week I went with the under in the Hull City Aston Villa game, which is good because I was going to fade him and take Villa, and it ended up being another 0-0 game that Hull really should have lost. So the under hit and I would have been beating my head against the wall again had Villa not won that and I'd taken them.
Okay, let's get to the picks, which include a Hull City game. What do you got?
Yeah. The weekly, how do we fade Hull City this week? This week we're going to do both teams to score no in Chelsea and Hull City. So essentially, with Chelsea at home, you're kind of betting Hull's not going to score a goal with the back door of maybe Chelsea doesn't too. So mentioned, Hull hasn't conceded a goal yet, but they've scored three goals themselves. But they've taken the fewest shots in the league. They have the fewest expected goals at 2.3. They're really middle of the pack defensively with the underlying numbers. So we're at three games where there's obviously some opponent differences in play, but the numbers are starting to be the numbers at this point. So again, Hull is not a top five team. I don't think they're a top half team. Look at those relegation odds, minus 200 or so. Chelsea shouldn't have a problem scoring here. And while they haven't been great defense, I just don't think Hull has generated enough consistently. Again, less than an expected goal per game. So minus 110 on both teams to score, no, is my play here.
All right. And then Liverpool and Fulham, you have a total.
We're going over 3.5 here, plus 115. Fulham's averaging about 4 expected goals per game total in their matches. Their last two have both been 3-2 games, losing to Chelsea and Palace. Their defense has been pretty leaky all season. They will push forward to chase a goal, which is generally a good thing, but it also opens you up at the back. Liverpool's been pretty open too. They haven't had quite the attack that they've had the last couple of years yet with Mo Salah gone and company, but the defense and midfield also has not quite been coherent either. So they're giving up stuff on the other end. They've scored twice in both of their games. They've conceded twice in two of the three others. So I think we're going to have goals here one way or the other. So over 3.5 at plus 115 for me.
Okay. And then speaking of Arsenal, which you alluded to earlier, Arsenal win to nil.
Kind of just want to play this every week. Not really, but kind of. So I have Arsenal win to nil against Sunderland at plus 115. I guess some books will have this listed as a win to nil or win to zero. Some books you can build a parlay of Arsenal win and both teams to score no, but you should be able to get about the same price either way. They've won to nil in 4 or 5 games in all competitions so far this season and run a little bit hot, but they've conceded one goal and only 2.5 or so expected goals total in those 5 games. And we have a track record. This is what they've done for the past 2-3 seasons. They've been the best defensive team in the world. They don't give up a lot of opportunities, and they don't give up very good opportunities, which is obviously a good combination from a defensive perspective. Sunderland, 3 goals in their 3 games so far, but they played a couple of the worst defenses in the league, we think, in Fulham and Ipswich. So it's not that impressive that they put up those 3 goals and 4 expected goals. So yeah, kind of simple here. Arsenal, much better team, best defense in the world, win to nil at Sunderland.
All right, Chelsea, Hull City, both teams to score no, minus 110. Liverpool, Fulham over 3.5 goals, plus 115. Arsenal, win to nil, plus 115. Obviously looking for the 3-0 sweep, but we'll settle for the 2-1. The Paul Carr moving the chains, common outcome. Real quick last minute here. It is 25 years since 9/11, which is just so mind-boggling for those of us who remember it, to just process that it's been a quarter of a century. Were you at ESPN yet at that point, or was that
no,
you weren't there yet, right?
I was a senior in college, and I still remember my roommate came tearing down the stairs. Like, I'd just gotten up, and he's like, "Do you know what's happened?" I had no clue what was going on, and we just kind of like sat there and stared at the TV for a huge chunk of the day.
Yeah,
it was a weird one.
As so many did. What in your time at ESPN, what was the story? I mean, nothing as big as 9/11, but give us a glance into a sports broadcast. Yeah. What goes on?
The thing I remember most, like not sports related news, was Sandy Hook, because that's like an hour from Connecticut. It was kind of the end of a show. And there was nothing we could really do. You know, it wasn't like national news, but it just started trickling back in. And, you know, we had like researcher who lived there and stuff like that. And that was a tough one to process.
Yeah. Nothing like 9/11, though, in terms of the broad scope of.
Correct.
Of obviously affecting every human being in this country, because we just could not process what was happening. Sandy Hook was its own calamity, of course, in a different realm. Paul Carr with his 3-pack of plays in the Premier League. Paul, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr, everybody. NFL next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Week one of college football is done. BTB Analytics proved once again their models know what they're talking about, posting a 62% win rate last weekend. 14 more picks ready to go for week two. But they're so much more than just a pick service. They give you access to their model projections for every NFL and college football spread in total, so you can see the edge and cover probability for every team updated as the lines move. They send their official bets directly to you, plus offer free tools and educational resources on their site. Scan the QR code or go to btb-analytics.com and use code VSIN for 10% off. That's btb-analytics.com. Hey, Danny Higgins, producer number 10, has chimed in on Twitter.
Who?
Danny Higgins, Danny.
He says, I remember that guy.
Danny Higgins, who is acting as the voice of football god here, he says, can't help it when the other team plays poorly, especially after you've emptied the bench. If you want kindness, wrong sport. LOL. Quote, Jimmy Johnson as Miami head coach. I can only coach one team. I wanted them to play as well as they possibly could play. We only know one way to play the game, and that's with intensity. Unquote.
Danny. Danny.
It's a well montage done. Of
well
me
done,
saying
fellas.
Danny.
Well done.
That's great.
Hey, that's your former starting quarterback for the Copenhagen Towers.
That's right.
I don't think I'm getting his name, the team name right.
Spoken like a Gen Zer or whatever he is. Bobdimus Prime. It just dawned on me. Did Crackman say yesterday that his buddy takes betting advice from Barstool? Sir, would you like this Porsche or that unicycle and red ball nose? Really? The unicycle? That man needs an intervention. Yeah, I saw him throw that in. Evan Klein, my wife's birthday is on 9/11. Talk about a buzzkill. Yeah, I'm sure that comes up as the thing now. Chris Heath, 3% of my survivor pool is eliminated so far. What about circas? And I hope we get some million strategy from Fez. My proxy's deadline is 11 p.m. Friday, 6 p.m. week one. We don't know the circa numbers yet because they don't come out till after the deadline. So we have no idea how many people got knocked out of Survivor with these two games. I would assume it's not that much, but who knows? The real interest will be how many people failed to submit.
Well, I'd agree with you, except for they're doing that buyback thing, right?
They're doing the buyback thing. So a lot of people, you're right, a lot of people could have just gone ahead and gave it a shot, knowing that they could buy back.
Impossible for us to guess the number of entries that would have done that, but
no way to know. Grant, betting X Factors, Miami running it up. Do teams start to pump their Heisman hopeful starts in games like this? Seems like end of year they flash up nomination stats to compare. Yeah, but they did take out Malachi Toney and Mensah, Darian Mensah, at some point too, right? They don't think they play the fourth quarter. But yes, I mean, those stats tend to wash, right? They tend to, we don't tend to question them in the wash, I should say, at the end of the year. Oh, you got all that against Florida A&M? That kind of thing. Tony Hernandez, gentlemen, thanks for reminding us of the 25th, he says, anniversary of 9/11. It's a weird word to use for this. Please remember all who perished on that fateful day. I want to extend my sincere thoughts and prayers to the 343 firefighters who went in while all were trying to get out. May they never be forgotten. And well said, Tony, and he's so right about, I know Tony is, I believe Tony said he was a former firefighter, I believe, the other day. It really was one of the common things that was stated afterwards, which is while everybody was running away, those guys were running in. And you will never, mere mortals like ourselves will never be able to comprehend that kind of heroism. They're just doing their job, as they would say, but it was just an unbelievable, so many unbelievable stories from the biggest tragedy this country has ever seen, certainly in our lifetime. Okay, no artful way to segue, but it is week one in the National Football League, two games behind us, full Sunday slate besides the Monday nighter. Only one Monday night game this time, right?
Boo!
We used to have double headers.
Boo!
Apparently not anymore. Not this week, anyway. Okay, let's do these one by one, shall we?
Wait, were we not doing that for the whole season?
What?
Me and you have not talked about this, really. The Monday night thing. I liked the 1 hour staggered start one, too.
I did.
I feel like they're not going to do that anymore.
Why? What's the reason?
Well, remember they were doing it where they did it that way, and then they did the separate them by like a full 3.5 hours or whatever.
Yeah,
I liked the one starting halfway through though. You got like halftime, and then you got the other game starting.
Oh no, I understand. I'm just talking about them in general. They said the NFL got rid of Monday Night Football doubleheaders because the league realized the overlapping or back-to-back game format forced fans to choose between competing matchups rather than enjoying a single showcase. What are you talking about? We have to choose between matchups on Sundays.
I mean, it also sounds like a smart business strategy, but like, why would you give it to us in the first place then?
NFL Executive VP of Media Distribution Hans Schroeder admitted that the league, quote, collectively struggled and realized fans felt like they were conflicted to choose between those games. I guess they feel Monday night is more sacred than Sunday day in that respect.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let's start with the early window. Tampa Bay at Cincinnati. Bengals favored by 3.5. Total 50.5. Any play?
I do. Two improved defenses, I think, coming into this game. No Mike Evans on the Buccaneers side. I'm on the under with Mr. Drew Dinsick here. 51.5 is where I played it at. Honestly, week one, I think from what we've seen so far, Gil, I think unders would be the, if you're asking me totals this week, it's under or pass, I think, on every single game from what we've seen the past couple nights, at least.
I have no play. No play whatsoever. I want no part of this game. That one in Cincinnati, again, Bengals favored by 3.5.
No millions play for you either?
No millions play, no survivor play, yeah. Nothing.
From a side, I've got no interest in this. This is yep. One of my, with your the classic Megapod questions, but one of the sides I have no interest in whatsoever.
I do have a millions play on this one. Saints are at the Lions. Lions favored by a touchdown. I am not in the Tyler Shuck camp. Really inaccurate downfield. I feel like the Lions can cover this game. Lions going from the best point differential of any last place team ever in the National Football League. Actually, I think it was the first since like 2003, so I shouldn't say ever. I think there was another team this century that had that distinction to a really easy schedule this year, and it starts with this one. I think the Lions cover, and I got it in millions. 50 is the total. Any play for you?
I got nothing here. This is, man, side and total will be a pass for me. Again, total feels a little high. I think it would lean under. I'm with you on Tyler Shuck. He's going to continue to have to show me more for me to really buy into the Saints team, Gil. But just one note, just interesting to me that this was 7.5, but settled in at 7 pretty quick. We've just been stuck on this flat set. It really has not moved here in the past couple weeks.
I feel like I'm seeing the ball well after two games, Kelly.
Hey, good start.
I'm taking the
good
Lions
start,
minus
man.
7. All right, now here we've gotten a lot of different opinions on this. Mostly Jets love. And we did have some Titans love from Zach yesterday. Titans are favored by 1.5 at home against the Jetropolitans.
Yeah, I know Dave and Jensen were talking. It's actually funny for how bad of a game this is, how much talk it's gotten, right? Yes. Not even just on our show, right. But other shows I've heard a bunch of it too. I know Dave and Jensen were split on this one. I think what you saw out of the preseason with these teams, and you got to be careful with how much you take away from the preseason, but I will not get that game out of my mind where the Titans started everybody against the backups on Seattle going in. Seattle just destroyed them. I'm not going to be able to get that out of my mind. And Geno Smith actually looked pretty good in the preseason. So I do like the Jets here. It will be a millions play for me, Gil, on the Jets side. I love it as a teaser leg.
Love it as a teaser leg. I agree with you there. My teaser leg on the Megapod was Jets and what was my
Jags?
Other? Jets and no, I didn't do Jets and Jags. Jets and Lions. It's not a Wong play, but I did that. I paired it with the Lions. Ravens at Colts. Ravens are favored by 3.5 on the road here at Lucas Oil Stadium. I got nothing here on anything. Totals 48.
Yeah, I think this is just going to end up being a pass by me. But man, Colts catching 3.5 week one at home. Like this is not a bad team. I'm struggling a little bit with this number, but I don't think I'm going to get there.
Me too. I don't want no part of it. Also,
it might be a millions play for it. It could end up being a millions. If the fifth one we're always scrambling for.
Yeah.
I haven't gone through all of them yet. If I need one more, it might be the Colts.
My 5 millions plays became very clear when I made them. Very clear. And here's another one of them. I have the Steelers minus 3.5 against the Falcons. It's 4.5 now on the Tua news. Did you hear what happened yesterday?
Just crazy.
Atlanta Falcons quarterback Tua Tagovailoa suffered an oblique injury in practice yesterday. Listed as a limited participant, according to the team's official injury report, sources telling Ian Rappaport at NFL Network that Tagovailoa is considered day-to-day. Remember, Tua named the starter almost as a de facto starter. Kevin Stefanski didn't want to start him if he had an alternative because he wasn't doing anything in training camp or in these preseason games. Steelers up to 4.5 now. It's a millions play already.
This is where I'm at. Probably millions play for me. I mean, I don't even know what's better? A banged up, if you take the Steelers side, would you rather face a banged up Tua trying to play through this game? Or a what? Cooper Rush, Jack Strand? Like, this is not looking good for Atlanta. And that was terrible news yesterday.
Let's squeeze one more in here. Also,
I think
early,
I'm back on Pittsburgh Hill. Like, but maybe Survivor and definitely Millions.
Maybe Survivor. I already have it in Millions.
Yeah, okay.
Bears at Panthers. Bears 3-point road favorites. I want no part of this game. This was my answer to which game do you want no part of.
The one over I'm slightly interested in and lean to the Bears. I have not bet it, though. I think Bears team total over is probably a good look. Haven't bet it, though. I've been saying this for 3 weeks and I haven't bet it.
All right. We'll do more games later. But first, Christopher Felica. The Bear, El Oso from Fox Sports, all his plays, college football and beyond. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.